Lord, we thank you for our brother. We thank you for all you're doing in him and through him. Lord, we thank you for the work of OM India. We thank you for the privilege we have of partnering with them in it. And Lord, we thank you that your kingdom is growing. And Lord, that you care for each one that we've seen on that screen, each one in the even in the poorest of the poor places, Lord. You care for each one here in our city as well. And Lord, you are working your purposes out. And so God, use this word that Moses brings to us this morning. Lord, help him. Fill him with your spirit. Use it to speak to us, we pray. For we look to you and we are your servants, Lord. We want to be used of you in this city and in the nations. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank God for this opportunity to come to your church. I was here in April for an evening service that we had in some other hall. But I'm so glad that today I could come to the morning service, meet so many children and young people. And finally, have some fellowship. I'm aware that the team went out also from your church in February and visited some of our projects, some of it that you saw here on the video. And we look forward to a long-term partnership with your church. Your church looks very warm. Last time when I came also, most of your church members are so lively, and even now so many of you are smiling. That's very nice. Yeah. I come from an untouchable background, so people don't touch me in India. Christians touch me, but non-Christians, upper caste, don't touch me. And so I feel like touching people, and I feel always looking for warmth from people. So it's nice to come to your church. And if I was staying here, I would have come every Sunday. I don't say that in every church, huh? I was also asked to share about Orissa before I preach from the passage given to me. You are reading the news already and watching probably on the television. The severe attack in the history of Christianity that has happened in Orissa state of India. Never before in the whole 2000 year we have a record of such a massive attack on Christians in India. Last year, December, they did it for the first time. In the state called Orissa, south districts, a Fulbani district, which is now called Kandhamal district, they started the attack. The district has two lower caste people. One is called Dalits, another is called tribal. These are the animist people that worship nature. In many other states of India, the tribals have come to Christ, and the Hindu fundamentalists use Dalits to attack them. In the state of Orissa, a lot of Dalits have come to Christ, and they are using the tribal groups to attack the Dalits. In December last year, Christmas, 25th December, while Christians were celebrating Christmas, there was a mob of 4,000 to 5,000 attacked the churches. And in 3 days, about 40 churches and 900 Christian houses were destroyed, and about 10 Christians were killed. Most Christians ran away into the forest and the mountains and somehow survived. But after a week, the attack stopped, and we thought that this will not happen again. But one of the Hindu guru, Swami, a Hindu priest who is also criminal in the police records, Laxmanan Saraswati, led these attacks in December. 24th of August, somebody murdered him. Because he was already a criminal and had already problems with several groups. And somebody killed him. And the Hindu fundamentalist groups used that opportunity to attack Christians, saying Christians have gone and killed him. And so they declared a massive revenge on Christian people and saying, we will take life for life. And so decided to systematically attack the villages. Last year when they attacked, they had cut about 300 trees and blocked all the roads around Kandhamal district so that for 3 or 4 days police couldn't go in to help the people. Even though complaints were coming, they had cut all the telephone lines and the electric lines, so all the connection to the people also was cut off. So this time police had put some boots already in the area, so they couldn't do that. But even then they were so powerful, and it spread into so many villages, police simply couldn't control. And after 45 days yesterday, it's still going on. And it's a very, very sad thing. And we would like you to pray that it will stop. The general election is coming next year, early next year. And so no government wants to do anything about it. Christians have very few votes. Majority votes is Hindu votes. And no government wants to disturb Hindus by taking hard action. However, because several human rights organizations within India, including a lot of Hindus, are speaking now against it, because they think this is the most shameful thing that is happening, when actually it's ethnic cleansing happening in India. And so the government has enormous pressure, and several international country groups also have spoken against it. And so now police is trying to control it sincerely. However, they have allowed these Hindu fundamentalist groups to grow so strong over the years. Now it's very difficult to control them, and the police itself is getting into big trouble. Kindly pray that God will do something and help. About 15,000 people are staying in the refugee camps now. The government is telling everything is normal, go back. But most people don't want to go back, because the village people have warned them that either you become Hindus and come back, or never come back. If you come back as Christian, you'll be killed. So people are afraid to go back, while government is trying to show everything is normal, go back in the villages from the refugee camp. But the condition is very dangerous. So pray when you remember Orissa. And if you can write to your member of parliament, or to your prime minister, or even if you want to write directly to Indian prime minister, feel free to do so, because every letter brings pressure on the government to do something. And like all governments, Indian government is very concerned what the world thinks about them, you know. So when you write to them along with your prayers, it can make a difference. The passage given to me this morning that I want to share, I want to read from New International Version, Hebrews chapter 5, 11 to 6, chapter verse 12. Hebrews 5, 11. Hebrews 5, 11 says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk and not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tested the heavenly light, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tested the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." You're studying the book of Hebrews, so already you know the background. I don't need to give. You already know that originally it was written to the people who were Hebrews who had become Christian. The Jewish people who had become Christian. So it was written not to the Gentiles, but to the Hebrews. The images, the stories, the references of Old Testament deeply and clearly show that it was mainly written to the Hebrew Christians. That is one thing we need to remember. Secondly, we need to remember, which is mentioned prominently in this passage, that after following Jesus, for some reason, they had slowed down. They had become dull. They were not showing the same energy they had shown from the beginning and were slowing down. And the third problem mentioned in the letter is some were actually tempted to go back. After showing great fervor, great life, and significant suffering also for being a Christian, now many were tempted to go back. In this situation, the author is writing this letter. And this passage that we are going to see is one of the strongest in the epistle. Actually, some think this is the most difficult passage in the New Testament, because it possibly is talking about losing of salvation. The words he uses are very, very strong and frightening, and people sometimes get worried. So as we get along, we need to just look at this background. The problem of salvation, we don't want to go into detail and look into it, but there are many explanations given for this passage, Hebrews 6:4-6, where it mentions that God is going to judge. Some people believe simply that Christian can lose salvation, that you can believe in Jesus, and then if you are not faithfully walking hard, then you can lose salvation. The other group believes that it talks about people who are not saved, but who have come almost close, okay, because of the words it uses. It's impossible for those who have been enlightened, okay, they have not converted, but they are just given light, or those who have tasted the heavenly light, they have tasted, but they have not eaten, or they have shared the Holy Spirit, they have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age, if they fall away. So some people say they were never saved, they just tasted everything, they were enlightened, they saw something, but they never came to God and fall away. That is second explanation given. Or third, people think that maybe it only talks about Jews. While the temple is standing, if the Jews continue to follow that old style and not receive Jesus, it's talking about that. The fourth explanation some people give is that it's an hypothetical case. It's not a real case. It won't happen. Don't worry. It's just a hypothetical case that if it happens, God will judge the people. I think none of these explanations are right, because the main issue in this passage is not salvation, but of repentance of believers. The main issue that we think of is of repentance. And so I take it for granted that the author is writing to the believers, the true believers who genuinely believe Jesus from Jewish background. The first problem the author had, that they had become very dull, that they had become very slow, and they were not growing. He uses very strong words. From 5:11, he says, "We have much to say about it, but it's hard to explain because you are so slow." He's talking about, last Sunday probably you studied, the high priesthood of Jesus. He wants to explain that all this shadow we were following has been fulfilled in Jesus, the high priest. And I want to say so much about this issue of Jesus being a priest for us. But the problem is, you guys are not moving away. You are staying stuck in just one place and not moving away. So hard to explain. By this time, enough time was given from your salvation to now that you would have become teachers yourself, that you would have taken opportunity to stand up and teach others. But you are still in the basic thing. Gives an example of a baby who starts with the milk but does not remain with the milk, continues to grow and becomes mature and takes solid food. Now this is something that we continue to face very challenging in India itself. Since OM planted these churches with the Dalits, and every day we get invitation to go to new village and no people want to hear about Jesus. And then when we talk about Jesus, they hear something they have never heard. Okay? Dalits are told they are untouchables. They were never created by God. While all other castes were created from the body of God, Dalits were never created by God. And they are lower than others. They are not equal. One of the Dalit leaders many years ago told us that when you start preaching to the Dalits, don't start from Matthew 1, you start from Genesis 1. Before the Dalits hear God sent his son into this world, they need to hear God created them. Okay? That is the first good news. Wow! These people are telling me I was not created by God, but Bible says I was created by God. What a blessing, you know, to be created by God. And to be a creation worthy that God sent, only self-created, and that I was created from one man and one woman. All nations were created, so I'm equal. I'm not high or low, lower than anybody. I'm equal to everybody. Okay, I may look different, I may look darker than the fair people who are high caste, but I'm equal. That is an amazing teaching that is given, that can be given to the Dalits. Lots of them are coming. They hear this. This itself is an incredible good news they have never heard. Then they are offered to have a fellowship with the church. That they are offered to come and lead worship. They are offered to be even priest if they are gifted in teaching and preaching. And so all these are never allowed in Hindu religion. So it breaks their heart, and many people come to Christ. Apart from that, there are miracles and signs in their lives when God heals many people and answers their prayers. Lots of people come to Christ. Every other day we plant a new church in India now. In a year we have over 200 churches planted. You know, lots of people coming to Christ. But there is a serious problem of discipleship. And we have to take it seriously, because God did not send us to make Christians. He sent us to make us disciples. That we are supposed to bring Indians to the body of Christ and make them disciples. But lots of people want to come to Christ, come for fellowship, sing song, give testimony, but don't want to grow. And this is a strange thing. You know, growth is a normal thing in Christian life. Growth is not a strange thing. When we see our relative's children after many years, we say, "Oh, wow, you have grown so much." Well, that is not a surprising thing. They are supposed to grow. If the case was opposite, we would have shocked that we see a baby after 3 years, it's the same baby. After 5 years, we come, it's the same baby. After 10 years, he's still walking around with a thumb in the mouth. We say, there is something wrong. Go to the doctor. Get treatment done. Because non-growth is a problem. Some have a body growing and not mind growing. Okay? We call it Mongoloid syndrome. Okay? Body grows very well, but the mind doesn't grow. And so when you look at a boy, he looks young, ready to marry somebody. Adult. But as soon as he opens his mouth, you realize there is something wrong. He's still talking childish. And so many times in the church we have this problem. In so many times, churches, we have people who are filled. The churches are filled with people. But as soon as they open their mouth, we know they are still babies. We can't talk to them. If we shout, they start crying. Okay? Because they are not used to it. They cannot handle any suffering. A lady came to me some time ago in our church and saying, "Brother Moses, I'm not going to come to church. I'm sorry. What happened? Did we do something wrong?" "No," she said, "as soon as I came to Christ, problems are happening." Okay, I thought Jesus is the answer for the world today. As soon as I come to Christ, everything will be over. Everything will be smooth ride. Now, since I came to Christ, my children have a problem. They are not failing in the exam. My daughter is not listening to me. My husband has started drinking. They said, earlier it was so nice. Everything was okay. But now, since I'm following Jesus now, lots of problem in the family. I said, "My sister, I'm very sorry if somebody told you that follow Jesus and everything will be all right. Because the Bible says, take up your cross and follow me." You know, you are starting a war when you follow Jesus. But somehow, because of our wrong preaching, or somehow, Lots of people come in the church thinking once they come to Christ, everything will be all right. And such Christians, even though maybe big in number, as soon as some persecution, some difficulty comes, they fall away. Growth is a normal thing. Everybody is supposed to grow. Non-growth, not growing, is a very dangerous thing, and it can kill the whole movement. Second thing we saw in our churches is dependence on somebody else for teaching and new life and encouragement also can be very dangerous. You know, we don't realize that. When people said, oh, Pastor, you are preaching good and I like your teaching. I like to come regularly and we need to bring more teachers and bring another teacher because he's the best teacher in the country and we should have a series of classes and all that looks very exciting. I have learned over the years that when a believer doesn't bow down with the word of God on his own and depends on other teachers can also be very dangerous. And I'm afraid Hebrew Christians probably had that problem, that Paul, you come, and Peter, you come, and then you send one more apostle and teach us something. When people are not bowing down and trying to study word of God themselves can be a very, very dangerous thing. Depending on somebody is a very dangerous for a Christian long term. One meeting I preached, and after the message, one young man came to me. He said, Brother Moses, what a preaching, what a teaching. He said, you know, I was so filled. Next 1 week, even if I don't read Bible, he says, I will still survive. And I looked at him and I saw, this is very dangerous. This guy is trying to live on the food that I served and does not want to cook himself. Does not want to prepare food himself and eat. No, preachers might think that is very exciting when somebody responds like that. I got very frightened to meet him. I said, my brother, if you don't learn to go home and do what I did today with you, you are finished. There is no life, long-term life for you. That is the danger of this. Willow Creek Community Church, one of the biggest fellowships in U.S., Bill Hybel, in last Global Leadership Summit, he confessed that after many years they realized this. And I really honored him for saying this. A lot of people criticize their movement. But he said, this is a serious problem that we have identified. That discipleship is an individual's problem, not a church's problem. They said, for 20 years, we provided cassettes, CDs, book materials, special classes, cottage meetings, everything, so that a believer will grow. And we have realized after 20 years, unless a person himself or herself takes a responsibility to stand up and follow Jesus, you cannot drag him for years and years. That was a problem with Hebrew Christians. You take me to church. You take me to the meeting. Then I will come. If you don't come, I'll start crying. That kind of Christianity can be a very dangerous thing. Teaching is a gift. And so a lot of people say, I'm not a teacher. This verse actually expects everybody to be a teacher. Okay? Which is a nice thing. If you're not a gifted teacher, you will not bring thousands of people. A lot of people will not come in your teaching. But at least your family should listen to you. Your neighbors, your friends, your everywhere, people will expect you to tell them something, show them some truth, and explain to them. By this time, you should have become teachers, but you are still living on milk, like an infant, not growing to maturity. This is a matter of huge concern, and I pray that this will not be true of your church and your members, that you will grow seriously. Secondly, there is an appeal for maturity, growing to maturity. The author mentions six items that in the first few verses of sixth chapter. And it seems as if he's talking about Christian things, okay? When some people read, they wonder what is wrong about talking about repentance and faith and baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection, judgment. It seems to me that the author is not talking about the Christian principles. He's talking about Jewish principles that a lot of Jews fell back again and again on them. If you see carefully, they are not talking about the Christian things. Let's not lay again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death. The acts that lead to death, he talks about the old law. A lot of people thought that if we keep the law, then we will be righteous. This is a dangerous doctrine, and again, the people, God's people have shown the danger. If you read the book of Galatians, the whole book of Galatians was written for this. That after starting with the Spirit, why are you going again back to the dead works, to the law? That was a problem. So let's not do that. Of the faith in God, that again, the Jewish people encourage each other. The instruction about baptism, they said they should, the original it is translated not baptism, but washings. Talking about washings again and again. Jewish people very seriously talked about washings, as if that washed their sins away. Laying of hands, the commentators think that that is again talking about the Day of Atonement and the sacrifices. All Jewish people were supposed to sacrifice continually. The Jewish Christian had this problem. The reality, the sacrificial lamb had come, and they were still tempted to go back on the basic things of, again, laying of hands. The resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. Every Jewish person believed in, at least all the Pharisees strongly believed in resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Paul says, the author says, don't go again and again to these issues. Go on from there. From there, you need to grow on. But if you cannot go on, and if you keep on going back into these things and sin against the Spirit, then it is impossible to lead you to repentance. He is afraid that once people are enlightened, once people have given their life to God, once they are following the Spirit of grace, once they are trying to fulfill the will of God through the Spirit and not through their body and their flesh. Once they do that, after that, if they fall away, it is impossible to bring them to repentance. The word in Greek for fall away, this is the difficult word that people often get confused. The Greek word for fall away is not apostasia, okay, which is from where we derive the English word apostasy, okay. Falling away from faith. That word is not used here. The falling away, they are using, the word used is parapipto, which means falling aside or wandering away from the path. Okay? It's like a lamb that was lost and the shepherd went at night and brought the lamb back. Okay? The word falling away is used in that sense of falling from the side or wandering away from the main road. This happens, then the judgment is not losing salvation, but the divine chastening and the rewards, losing of rewards. That is what happens. This is a danger for believers. And that is explained later on in the passage of the land that drinks water, rain continually, and then produces good fruit is blessed. But the one that produces thorns and thistles is burned. You know, farmers regularly burn the land. When the land is burned, the land is not destroyed. Okay? Only the fruit destroyed. Whatever is there on the land is destroyed. And then the land is again ready for cultivation. Okay, that is a warning for the believers, which later on Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 3:15 in the same picture when he says, talks about judgment of God, but he says, you yourself will be saved as if through fire. So build something that will grow, that will stand the fire. That is what Paul mentions when he speaks in 1 Corinthians 3. For those who are working hard, even the grace is not an excuse. A lot of people use grace as an excuse in this kind of cases where they think, well, God will forgive me at the last day. In the Hebrew later on, 10:30, the author mentions again that God is a judge and he will judge righteously. Okay, and the judgment of God should not be taken as a light thing. judgment of God are very real and he will judge people. But the author is very hopeful. The third thing that is very beautiful in this passage, that he believes that this will, he's writing like this for these people, but it will not happen to them. The judgment of God will not fall on them because they will definitely prepare better things for God. Why is it? Three reasons he gives. First of all, he says that will happen because God is not an unjust God. Okay? Now, this is an interesting thing. God honors your trust in his Son. You have believed in him. You have not trusted in yourself or your good works or your past life. You are trusting in God and giving yourself to him. You have probably wandered away. You have become dull. You have not been faithfully walking after God and really working hard. That's okay. But if you listen to God's word and come again on the line, God is not unjust. He will definitely help you. He will have mercy on you. Secondly, he will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. This is a nice and beautiful thing also that I think all of us should practice also in our own life. God is such a gracious, and he also will remember along with your faith that you have done some good things for him and his people. Okay? If you get an opportunity to love somebody in the church, in the neighborhood, please take that opportunity. Because this verse says God will not forget that. Even if somebody gives you a cold glass of water, God says he will not forget that. He will not, that person will not lose the reward. So this is a nice thing. And it teaches me also that I must also be like God and remember. So often, when some tension happens with other believers, we tend to forget every good things they have done. I do that. Sometimes I get angry with the people for their one thing. I tend to forget every other good thing they have done in the past, which is a very bad thing for a godly people, because God himself doesn't forget. You know, this verse gives me so much hope, because over the years, last 30 years of my Christian life, I have tried to help so many people, and that gives me an encouragement. Wow, God is not unjust. He will not forget what I have done for him. And he will be gracious to me. He will give me some more opportunity, time to revive, to grow in him, to be a better disciple and follow him. God is not unjust and he will not forget the love we have shown and continue to help them. And the third thing is, that is why we need to show all the more diligence. The warnings of the word of God does not frighten us and keep us away. The warnings of the word of God excite us and challenge us to go forward. That the persecutions are there, difficulties are there in life, but that does not need to make us lazy or discouraged. You know, in Orissa, I was just thinking, a lot of people would have survived and not face persecution if they only had said, okay, Jesus is not God, I'll worship idols tomorrow onwards. Simple. They could have done that. Anyway, nobody's going to come and help them. Nobody's going to save life. The world belongs to Hindus. They are ruling here. They are going to rule continually. Why bother with all these things? Simple. Assemblies of God pastor and his wife were taken by these mobs. Most people in the church ran away. The pastor and his wife were caught. They were taken in the forest. And they asked the pastor to eat the food offered to idol. Simple thing. Just eat that and confess Jesus is not God. He says, I'll not do that. All my life I've preached and told people and brought people to Christ. How can I do that? They said, then we will kill you. They said, okay, what else you can do? They tied his hand and leg, gang raped his wife in front of his eyes, and then cut him into pieces and killed him. His wife, while they were killing him, somehow managed to survive, run away. And she ran for 6 days and six nights, came to the Bhuvaneswar town. I don't know how she traveled and what she ate at night and where she stayed. She was completely finished when she came to the town, to the main pastor, telling this horrible story. Day before yesterday, our video team went and visited a village, and they managed the first funeral in last 1.5 months. One paralyzed man was in the house. They put house fire. He couldn't run away. He was there and burnt alive. And they went and found his bones and few parts. And so they took it and buried it. But I'm amazed at these people, you know, that they keep following God and keep sticking to their confession, you know. Is it that many of us are too easy that we are not very faithful to God? Is it the reason that many of us have a house and a job and a safety and security that we don't really press forward? I wonder sometime, you know, should God take that away, what we have, so that we will be more faithful to Him and pay attention to Him? I don't know. If we don't listen to His warning, don't listen to His word and encouragement and challenges, what should God do so that His children will grow, hold on to His word of God, and learn to follow Him in His way? Let's pray that God will help us, that He will give us His support, encouragement, and challenge, so that we will be able to faithfully walk after Him. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank You for Your goodness and mercy upon us. Thank You for our church fellowship. Thank You for believers, brothers and sisters. Thank You for a new life continually that comes in our church. Lord, we pray for those who are following You for many years. Pray that You will help us to pay attention to You, that we will look at You, Lord, and follow You, Lord. Give us a personal encounter with You, Lord. That is a problem sometimes, that people have so much knowledge and have no crisis time when they come face to face with God and talk to Him. Lord, we pray that we will have that experience so that we can be built up in You, Lord, that we can grow in You and be strong. Be with us, Lord, rest of the day and week as we consider these things, Lord, and look into Your word and try to follow You. Nobody's responsible for my discipleship, Lord. I'm responsible to take Your word, take it seriously, eat it every day and night, and meditate upon it, Lord, and teach my children and my family, Lord. Give me that grace, Lord, and give grace to all of our families to do that. Commit this time in Your hand. In Jesus' name we pray.